The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him,
"Sir, we wish to see Jesus."
Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them,
"The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name."
Then a voice from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. But others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered,
"This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I greet you this day with the joy of Jesus. I also bring you greetings on behalf of the 180 plus congregations and more than 80,000 members of the Metropolitan Chicago Synod, where Bishop Yehiel Curry serves as our Episcopal leader. John 12:27 reads as follows, "Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason why I came. Permit me to introduce to some and present to others a method called appreciative inquiry. Appreciative inquiry is a model that seeks to engage stakeholders in self-determined change. This model is based on the premise that questions we ask will focus our attention in a particular direction to address organizational and community challenges. In practicing the technique of appreciative inquiring, asking the right question is often more important than coming up with the correct answer. Keeping this technique in mind, I have a question for us. So often we're asked the question, what are you willing to die for? This is a great question, but it's rhetorical and hypothetical in nature. It's a question asked to make a point rather than to get an answer. But today, I want to ask you an even more important question, a question that I believe you can answer. And that question is, what are you willing to live for? John 12, verse 27, is one of the few times that Jesus focuses on himself, so it's worth paying some attention to. Jesus expresses his uncertainty. Jesus ponders the purpose and meaning of his life. Jesus literally questions his future. Jesus is asking, why am I doing this? Why am I going to go to the cross? What is the reason I'm going to die? In this text, Jesus's last dialogue in John's gospel. Jesus focuses on the meaning of his death, which means he really is focusing on the meaning of his life. Sometimes we can become so obsessed with Jesus's death that we lose sight of Jesus's life. We say, what would Jesus do, rather than ask, what did Jesus do? When we do this, we risk Jesus becoming the object of worship rather than the subject of worship. Here, Jesus is questioning his purpose. Jesus is inquiring of God the meaning for his life. Come on with me, everybody. Let's come to the Bible and listen in on Jesus' inner voice in John 12:27, as paraphrased in Eugene Peterson's The Message. He says, "Right now I am shaken. And what am I going to say? Father, get me out of this. No, this is why I came in the first place. I'll say, Father, put your glory on display. Let your name be glorified." Being both fully human and fully divine, the Word made flesh, if you will, Jesus asks and answers his own question. What's the reason for my death? What's the reason for my life? This is the reason. But like us, Jesus' followers needed reassuring. For Jesus, this is not a moment of revelation, but a moment of remembering his purpose. By now, lectionary preachers ought to be getting a little excited. By now, lectionary preachers ought to have an appreciation that now, for the third time since Ash Wednesday, the elemental God, this elemental God of all creation, steps out of eternity into history and speaks to Jesus and speaks to us through nature. In response to Jesus' uncertainty and reassuring the people, God thunders reassurance to Jesus and responds, "I have glorified it, and I'll glorify it again." Oh, my siblings in Christ, aren't you glad that God speaks? Aren't you glad that God is still speaking to you and God is still speaking to me? This season of Lent is about being reassured and seeking an answer to the question, what's the reason I'm here? What's my God-given purpose? You see, seeking meaning is how we survive. It's our primary evolutionary business. As both meaning seekers and meaning makers, we discover the purposes of our lives and make sense of our life experiences. To seek meaning and experience, to find those aha moments of life, there is a need for us to be attentive. There's a need for us to be open, and there's a need for us to be hospitable to what God is up to. God reminds Jesus of the significance of his days. God gives Jesus death, and equally important, God gives Jesus' life meaning. This same God is available to us. This same God is available to you and to me. To help us understand the significance of our days as well, Frederick and Marion Brissot write, "Each day, the challenge is to decipher the lessons in an encounter on the street corner, in an article we read during lunch, to a problem at work, to the criticism of a peer, or even to the silence before the dawn. What we does makes a difference. What we does give it meaning." Jungian psychologist Alice Howell writes, "We can only see half of anything. The other half is the meaning we give to what we see." During this pandemic period, I believe people want their life to count for something. People want their life to have significance. People want to live a life that counts. Now more than ever, people want to be a force for good in the world. Jesus reminds his followers of his purpose when he says, "When I am lifted up, I will draw everyone to myself." You see, the spiritual or universal truth of this text is found in the paradox of the cross. Sacrificing himself for humanity on the cross is the way Jesus lived, not only the way Jesus died. We ought to ask ourselves not just what would Jesus do, we should ask him and ask the question, what did Jesus do? In 1969, Black Panther Party leader Fred Hampton said, "I'm going to die for the people because I'm going to live for the people." Because Jesus has lived for the people, he must now die for the people. Chances are, you and I won't die like Jesus, but we can certainly live like Jesus. Jesus demonstrates to us that unconditional, sacrificial love is the fuel that propels us out of the orbit of self-centeredness. It overcomes the gravitational pull of self-interest, and it realigns the trajectory of our lives to live for others. Through Jesus' personal sacrifice, God keeps God's covenant promise and writes the message of love on our heart with the finger of love inked with the blood of Jesus. Jeremiah says, "I will put my law within them, write it on their hearts, and be their God, and they will be my people. They'll know me firsthand. I'll wipe the slate clean for each of them. I'll forget they ever sinned." There are at least three ways to look at the world's religions: the way of the dum-dum, the way of the plain M&M, and the way of the Tootsie Pop. The dum-dum teaches us that each world religion is distinct and has a flavor all its own. The M&M teaches us that despite the outward appearances, all religions are exactly the same. The Tootsie Pop teaches us that surface differences matter, but if you investigate deeply enough, you will find they all share the same heart. You see, my siblings in Christ, without God at the heart, none of them work. God bless you, and God keep you, is my prayer.